very much with the projects that the youth have on Wednesday nights, and we're just so thankful for their outreach ministry, and we're just praising the Lord for your support, and thank God for each and every one of you and all the efforts it's made to evangelize and to share Jesus Christ with these young people that enables him to be able to share with those that they encounter in life. Brother Caleb, come, my friend. Be very much in prayer for a dear friend. Good to have you.
Well, good morning. I love coming here. This is one of my favorite churches to come and speak here. I feel a kindred spirit when I walk in, and I know so many of you, and I love this church. Love your pastor. I've known him a long time. I was one of those kids in Kids for Christ that came in and heard him teach, and he's a faithful man of God. Mr. Hendren said you'd been here about 20 years.
Yes.
Yeah, that takes some faithfulness, and I want to commend him, commend your church, and it takes more than a pastor. I know that. I'm the son of a pastor, and I know it takes more than a pastor, but you have a faithful pastor, and I thank you for your obedience to him and obedience to God. I want to speak to you just a few minutes about the Gideons. But before I do, I want to tell you about a man named Dr. Lewis Venable. He was raised by his grandparents till the age of 7. And at the age of 7, his father came back from Vietnam and took him away from his grandparents. He was raised in their godly home till the age of 7. But when his parents came and got him, his dad had PTSD long before it was even diagnosed. And as they drove away from their grandparents' house, he's crying. He's distraught that he's having to leave his loving grandparents' home. His dad yells back at him and says, "Stop that crying before I give you something to cry about." He'd never been spoken to that way. It scared him. He lived in that abusive home. And one night, his father came home from a drunken rage, and he grabs his son, crams him down in the trash can, and said, "Here's what I think of you. You belong in the trash with all the rest of the trash." One night he came home, and his father was beating his mother. He jumps on his father's back, and he says, "Stop, stop." His father grabs him by the collar, shoves him against the wall, puts a gun to his head, and says, "Don't you ever get between me and my wife again." It was a terrible, abusive home. His grandfather had taught him to pray and to love God. But growing up in that home, he thought, how could a good God allow something like this to happen to him? And so he began rejecting God. He ran away from home at the age of 14. He eventually joined the Navy. He had some help from friends, parents, and from teachers that helped him. And he was very smart. He got good grades in high school. Joined the Navy. Actually graduated from the Citadel, which is a naval school, naval college. And he was stationed on a ship. And on that ship, he used to gamble over Trivial Pursuit. And he would win thousands of dollars over Trivial Pursuit. And he had actually memorized all of the questions and knew all of the answers. And so he would win thousands of dollars. Well, one day, an officer on that ship challenged him to biblical Trivial Pursuit. His pride wouldn't let him say no, so he did. He played the guy in Trivial Pursuit and lost a month's salary. Well, that made him very angry, and he said, "I've got to find a Bible, memorize that thing in a couple days, and so I can get my money back." So he figured he'd have to wait till the ship got to port. But he noticed one day in the officer's boardroom, there among the cassette tapes under the TV, he noticed some gold foil lettering, Holy Bible. So he goes in, grabs the Bible, looks at it, sees that it has Gideon on it. Gideon. So he started asking around, "Who is this Gideon guy?" Nobody knew who Gideon was. One of them said they thought he was an officer on the last cruise. But he goes to his room and he takes that Bible and he begins reading. And he thought he was just going to take a couple of days, memorize it. But he starts reading. And while he was reading, God used it and got a hold of him. He read verses like, "Herein is love, not that we love him, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins." He also read verses that, like, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And God convicted his heart, and there on that ship, he knelt down beside his bed, and he prayed and asked God to save his soul, forgive him of his sins. He said he didn't care what he did with his life. He could do whatever he wanted with his life, just not to make him a Baptist preacher. Well, God did make him a Baptist preacher. He pastored churches all over the country and actually all over the world in Israel. And he was especially gifted to go in and help struggling churches and revitalize them. Won thousands to the Lord over his ministry. And he also was able to, on his dad's deathbed, give the gospel to his dad, and his dad was saved. Isn't that wonderful? And all of that happened because of God. But God used a Gideon Bible. And that Gideon Bible got there by who knows what means. It could have been a group of Gideons went down to the Navy shipyard and got into the ships themselves and distributed that Bible. It could have been that one Gideon had a box of Bibles and gave it to someone who told him that they would get the Bibles where they needed to be. We do things however we can get it done. Who knows how God put that Bible there and what all it went through before it got there. But God used a Gideon to get that Bible into the hands of Louis Venable. And God used it to save him. I know this church is a faithful supporter of the Gideon ministry. And you all have heard Gideon speakers several times over the years. But I wanted to give you a little history today on the Gideons. I thought maybe you hadn't heard much history. The Gideons began in the year 1888 in room 19 of the Central House Hotel in Wisconsin when Mr. Sam Heal and John Nicholson had to share a hotel room there in an overcrowded hotel. The two of them did their evening devotionals together. They decided they needed to start an association of traveling businessmen who were dedicated to serving the Lord and dedicated to evangelism. They began formally the next year in 1889. By the next year in 1900, they had expanded from those two men to 250 members, and they began speaking in local churches. In 1901, the next year, it had expanded to 1,607 members. In September of 1901, a president joined, or future president at that time, Teddy Roosevelt, joined the Gideons, and he was later elected to be a president, to be the president. In 1907, the first hotel-wide distribution happened in Superior, Montana. In 1909, Gideons began going into churches, and churches began helping to fund distribution of Bibles. During the Great Depression here in America, Gideons decided to make it the Great Distribution. And Gideons, during the Depression, distributed over 1 million Bibles. In the year 1938, Gideons began distributing Bibles into school classrooms. We can't do that now. We can't go to classrooms. We have to get in other ways, clubs and organizations and things like that. But we can't go to classrooms now. But in 1938, we could. And that's when we began doing that. In 1939, Gideons began distributing in trains and boats and planes. In 1941, the Gideons were giving Bibles to soldiers that we were sending overseas. Let me read to you the note that was placed in the front of these Gideon Testaments that were sent overseas from our Commander-in-Chief, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Says, "To the armed forces, as Commander-in-Chief, I take pleasure in commending the reading of the Bible to all who serve in the armed forces of the United States. Throughout the centuries, men of many faiths and diverse origins have found in the sacred book words of wisdom, counsel, and inspiration. It is a foundation of strength. And now, as always, an aid in attaining the highest aspiration of the human soul. Very sincerely yours, Franklin D. Roosevelt. That's what a president said of our Bible in 1941. In 1958, Gideon's began expanding internationally. To that point, today we are Gideon's International. That's the name of our organization. Up to that point, it had been only in the United States. But in 1958, we expanded to South America. And in 1968, during the Apollo 8 mission on Christmas Eve, Bill Andrews reads from a Gideon-placed Bible from that spaceship. He begins reading in Genesis 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And it's been said, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it's been said that on that moment, on that day, when he read that Bible, more people heard the word of God at the same time than has ever happened in human history, and probably will ever happen. There were so many eyes fixed on that moment. So many people heard the word of God from a Gideon Bible there in 1968. In 1977, the Gideons had expanded to 100,000 members. Also in that year, we began distributing in Africa, in Sudan, into Rwanda, and Madagascar. Also, we went to South Korea, to Thailand, to Japan, and to Mexico. And in that year, Gideon's began distributing 1 million Bibles per year. 1 million Bibles per year. In 1988, there at the fall of the Berlin Wall, we began distributing in 21 Eastern European countries. On September 10th, 2001, keep in mind that date, September 10th, 2001, the 1 billionth scripture was distributed by the Gideons, and there's pictures of that 1 billionth scripture being given to the president, George Bush. And the next day is when the World Trade Centers were attacked. And in those days following that attack, 195,400 scriptures were distributed there in New York City after that attack. Today, the Gideons are organized in 12,000 camps around the world. Now, I am part of the Anderson County Gideon Camp. There's 12,000 camps like the Anderson County Camp all over the world. Knoxville has, I think, 3. Union County has 1. Campbell County has 1. Claiborne County has 1. But there's 12,000 all over the world. And we're in 199 countries around the world. We have the Bible. We distribute Bibles in 109 different languages. And right now, the Gideons have distributed over 2.5 billion scriptures. Now, I say that not as proud. We're just being obedient. We just want to be faithful. But what does this have to do with you? Well, the pastor's already mentioned, you can help us. You can help us. You can pray. And we would love to have your prayers. Pray that we would have open doors here locally even to give the gospel and to give Bibles out here locally. Pray that doors that we have open now, currently, will stay open. We don't lose distribution points. It's funny, you go into certain businesses, certain hotels will allow you to put Bibles in their rooms, and others will not. Pray that open doors will stay open. You can also give. And if you would like to give financially above and beyond what you give to your local church, all Gideons are members in good standing at a local church. That is a requirement to be a Gideon. So if you want to give above what you give here locally to your church, you can do that. The cost to place a full-size Bible like you see in a hotel, those are still about $5. The cost to place one of these New Testaments is about $1.80 or so. So if you'd like to give, you can. You can do that. And you can rest assured that every penny donated goes to the production and distribution of the Bibles. Gideons have to be businessmen or professional men. So if we travel around the world, We pay our own way. We have administration costs that we pay ourselves as club dues or as camp dues. So every penny donated goes to the distribution of Bibles around the world. You can also become a Gideon. And if you are interested, like more information, you can talk to me. If it's okay, I'm going to leave this here with your pastor. It's an application. You can give it to me. Get a hold of me. He can get a hold of me, and we'd love to have another Gideon. You can also give using our cards. You have a rack in the back. I just took some of the old cards out of there and put some new ones in there. But the way these work, and our most popular cards is in memory or in loving memory of someone. Someone passes away, a dear Christian. You can fill out a sympathy card, fill it out, give it to the person like you would normally. There's also an envelope here. You put your donation in it. You mail it to us through our local camp. It gets donated in memory of the person who went to be with the Lord. And you can do that and support the Gideons in that way. We would love to have your help. I thought in our time, what time I have left, I don't know how much that is. He didn't really give me a time, but turn to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. And verse 12. This would be a predictable verse. Oh, the Gideons are coming. Wonder what verse he'll talk about. Well, this would be one that might come to mind. It's about the Word of God. Hebrews 4, verse 12. It says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God is powerful. Your pastor read a verse there out of passage there out of Deuteronomy about the home, and Moses telling the Egyptians or the Israelites, "Get the Word of God in your home. Let it be everywhere, in front of your face, on your the palm of your hand, on the walls, on the door. Put it everywhere." And why? Why does the Word of God matter? Well, it is what God uses. It is that thing that is alive. It says there, verse 12 in Hebrews 4, "For the Word of God is quick." That means alive. Alive. You cut your fingernail too far, you cut into the quick. You cut into the live flesh. And so, the Word of God is alive. It's not dead words on a page. Coupled with the Holy Spirit, Brother Hendren told us about this morning in Sunday school, coupled with the Holy Spirit, it is alive. And it is powerful. It is dynamic. It comes off of the page and invades. It's powerful. It's sharp. It's sharp. It doesn't hit and bounce off. No, it cuts into and through. It is sharp. And it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. How deep is that? How deep is the dividing of soul and spirit? That's all the way. That's all the way down. And of the joints and marrow. Well, how more internal can you get than the marrow of your bone and into the joints? It cuts all the way. The Word of God cuts all the way and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's powerful. You know, I was fortunate to grow up in a home where my parents put the Word of God everywhere, on the walls, on the doors, in front of our face all the time. And I'm very thankful for that. I didn't do that. My parents did that. I'm thankful for that. And I'm fortunate to have had that. And because God has given that to me, given me the gift of a wonderful family who has raised me in church and has taught me about Jesus, I want to do all I can to get the Word of God to those that are lost who haven't had that opportunity. And you can help too by helping the Gideons. Thank you.